Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from Beaver Parish Church.
Okay, probably a wee bit like all of you, we were running around yesterday trying to get a few wee last minute things bought and done and everything else. So yesterday evening, just after tea time, we managed to do M&S at Forest Side and Sainsbury's at Forest Side. And where else did we go, Janice?
Northern Lights.
No, we went to another shop.
Oh, Tesco.
Tesco, yeah. That was it. And then Northern Lights. Yeah, okay. There's no point trying to keep that a secret now, is that? Since you shouted it out. Okay. Trying to squeeze all of that into one night. And I don't know if any of you were out shopping last night, but it really was, it had that wee feeling of, if we don't get it bought now, we'll never ever get it again. Anyway, we were in M&S, and M&S down Farside's a tiny wee shop at the best of times. But it was really quite squashed last night, everything in it. And I don't know what you're like, but I get a wee bit irritated and all of that, you know, with the trolley banging in the back of your calves and all of that, and when you reach out to buy something, somebody's trolley. Anyway, all of that sort of stuff. But anyway, at one point, I was pushing the trolley round a corner, and there was a rather manic-looking woman coming straight towards me with her trolley, and she did a Grand Prix-type swerve around my trolley, and on the way past, her face lit up, and she said, "It's the wacky races." Yeah. And I managed to hold it in not to say, "You're no Penelope Pit Stop." but there was something. There was just something about her face and the way she was, in the midst of all of this, there was a lightness in her spirit. There was something about her. And I did go over, I don't know if you noticed, Janice, but I did come over to you and put my arm around you and said, "You know, this is actually quite good fun to be out here shopping tonight in the midst of all of this." I was trying desperately to come back to the Lord there, you know. But it did sort of bring home to me a wee bit, and I've talked about this in the past as well, that when life pokes you in the ribs, or hits you a slap on the side of the head, or runs up behind you and runs into the back of your legs, whatever comes out is what's in there. Yeah, and that's an incredibly important thing, that when we're poked without warning, the realities of who we are is what comes out. And last night in M&S, I began to realize that what's deep inside here when shopping isn't always good. Now, let's jump from there into our gospel reading. Because there's a young woman, Mary, and a new possibility has arrived in her life. It's not every day you get an angel coming to tell you that you're going to be the mother of the Son of God. And even though we smile about the thought of that, the immensity of that possibility, I mean, it goes beyond anything. Anything that has ever been suggested in the history of the world is trumped by that. You could be the mother of the Son of God. And yet, when she was poked with this, what comes out from within inside her is, "May it be to me according to your word." Now, I'd like to suggest this evening that for Mary, this was the most obvious answer that she could come up with. Because that was what was inside of her. She didn't have to sit and think. Now, I'm sure she had to sit and think, and I'm sure she did many times, about the repercussions of this and what this might mean for her and everything else. But responding to God was what comes out of her. And I think the clue for that is that before she says, "Let it be to me according to your word," she says, "I am your servant." That was already a done deal in her life. Right? "I am the servant of the Lord. So if this is what you want, then my answer, of course, is yes." And there's something about that is almost her default position, is that when poked by God to do something incredible, the answer can only be yes. When poked by the world, I'm sure her answer was always a godly one. So there's something in Mary that is already there, that allows her to respond to him. And I wonder, is that partly why, out of all the people who could have been chosen over all those generations, was there's the one? As they gathered in the heavenly court, they looked down and said, there's the one. Yeah? Now, I think that raises a wee challenge for us as to what is lurking inside of us, so that when God gets close to us, that's what comes out. Yes, of course, Lord, I will do whatever you want me to do. I suspect it had been part of Mary's life. This was normal for her. Now, not being the mother of the Son of God, but that responding to God was part of who she was. That was in her, maybe for all of her life. That was just what she wanted to be, who she was. But say you leap forwards 33 years, and we find that the little baby that was born is now a grown-up person, and he finds himself in an equally challenging situation. He's in a garden on a Thursday night, and he knows this is within minutes is coming the betrayal that will lead to the trial and everything that's going to go wrong, and ultimately his death. And he is so perplexed by this that we read that he was dripping drops of blood in his sweat. It's like the blood vessels were bursting inside of him with the anxiety of this. And yet in the depths of that anxiety, he says, yet not my will, but yours be done. Now, I was checking this out with the master this week. So I was down talking to Tom Keatley and was just running some of these thoughts past him to find out if they were accurate, okay, right? And they weren't. And because at this point I said to him, would it be okay to say that was the only answer that Jesus could give? Because he is the Son of God, so he has to answer yes. And Tom said, no, you must not say that. Right? Because if the incarnation is to be genuine and is to be what it is presented to us in the New Testament, that Jesus really became one of us, that the temptations were real, he could have given into them, that the opportunities for sin that came along through his life, he could have given into them, because if he couldn't give into them, if he is protected from all of them, then he really isn't one of us. But the possibility has to be there that he is a real person. And therefore the Gethsemane struggle is not a pretend one. It's not one for effect. It is a real struggle. And he could have got to that point where when the soldiers came through, he could have run away. He could have said, that's not me. Or whatever. It's a genuine struggle for him. But he responds. And here's a thought that has occurred to me, and Tom concurs with this, that Jesus, from his little child, had grown up in a house and in a home and in a family where it was normal to say yes to God, because that's how his mother was. And that there's something about Jesus, the grown-up, who is living out the very things that he has admired in his mother as he has listened to the stories of how it all began. And that part of his struggle was to respond to God in the way that he knew he was supposed to. And he was doing that. And that there's something challenging in there as well with us, that whatever this is that God is giving to us and putting in our lives, his good news and his hope and everything else, is that we're passing them on to people, so that it's becoming their possibility and their reality as well. To be part of the community of hope, the community of faith, the community of people who say yes to God and who walk in his way. But let me take you to a third wee picture, because this one has the mother and the son in it. And it's in John chapter 2, and it's about 30 years after Mary said yes to God, but it's about 3 years before that crucial moment when Jesus said yes in Gethsemane. And it's a wedding, and mother and son are both there, and the wedding is about to go wrong because they've run out of all the wine. And that would be a terrible shame on the family. And Mary, you can read it in John chapter 2. Mary kind of sidles up to Jesus and says, Jesus, do something about this. And I'm guessing she is beginning to understand who he is. And he hasn't begun any public ministry at this point. He's just the son of the carpenter, as everybody knows him. But Mary says to him, Jesus, do something about this. And Jesus knows what she's getting at, that he actually could do something about this. Because he says to her, my time is not yet. Right? Because he doesn't think it's time to begin the public ministry that will ultimately lead to the salvation of the world. He says, my time is not yet. But now, what is it that was happening in Mary? Was something bubbling inside of her a bit like 30 years before? That was there something stirring in her spirit that day? Because she wasn't going to give in to the Son of God this day, who said, my time is not yet. She goes and gets the person in charge of the wedding reception and brings him over and says, you see this man here, do whatever he tells you. And she forces Jesus into the beginning of his ministry. And Jesus says, fill the jars with water. And of course we know the miracle. But John comments at the end of that story. It's in John chapter 2. And he writes a little comment at the end of the story. He says, this was the first sign, the first miraculous sign that Jesus performed, by which he reveals his glory. And it says, and his disciples put their faith in him. Mary's obedience, Jesus' obedience, and Mary realizes that the call to all of us, and it's almost like her call to the person who was running the wedding reception, is the call to the church. Do whatever he tells you. Because when you do what he tells you, new things will be birthed. New things will begin to happen. Signs of the kingdom will start to sprout up and appear. And she says to this guy, and I'm not sure whether Mary knew exactly everything that was going to happen. I'm sure she didn't. But there was something stirring in her that got hold of this guy and pointed him to Jesus and said, do what he tells you. Jesus speaks the words. At the beginning of the salvation of the world, the process is kicked into play. And I think tonight, we need to hear and heed Mary's words. When she says to us, gathered here across this nation, there are people gathered everywhere, tonight, tomorrow morning, all sorts of places, to hear Mary say, you see him, my son, I want you to get used to doing what he says. Living your life the way he describes it. Our corporate life, our community life, our faith life as a church, across this nation, lived the way that he wants. Because that's the only way to birth the kingdom, to bring God's will onto the earth, is for God's people to say, yes, Lord. So this evening, we will make the journey. We will open our hands. We will receive the symbols of his love, his body broken, his blood shed, and we will eat them and say, yes, Lord. And you're invited to do that this evening. Amen.
Thank you for listening. To hear previous weeks and for more information, go to beaverparish.co.uk/sermons.